certainly the flavors that I tasted over time, you know, now it's rare that I taste anything because there's nothing that's that bad, but in the beginning they were extremely strong and burned my skin from the inside. Hello world, this is the Origami Vancast. I'm Steve Coleman. Today on the Vancast, we go back in time to October of 2020 when I had the van up in far northeastern Maine, or maybe more eastern Maine than northern Maine, so eastern Maine. And I had been all across the country at that point. I had spent the entire winter out west and gone up to the Olympic Peninsula, gone through Montana and Wyoming, and came over across, visited my cousin in Michigan, and then arrived in New Hampshire. I stayed at my domicile there for a few days, or a couple weeks, I believe it was, and then when I felt a little better, I went on up to Maine and wanted to explore it for the fall. To get to there, I had driven, I think, about 600 miles in a couple of days. I visited some places in northern New Hampshire and came on over to parts of Maine that I had never seen before. And by the time I got there and hadn't used cannabis during my travels, obviously, I had started to develop knots in my neck, and that hadn't happened in a long time. So this is pretty much some raw audio that I recorded in a parking lot where I stayed, and then I got up in the morning and took many pictures of the waterfall, which I will put on Instagram whenever I go find them. I think they're already on Instagram, but I'll put them on the Vancast Instagram. So I had knots in my neck, and the reason why it's significant is that whenever I was very first injured and was recovering about 1 year into it, I developed a knot in my neck that I was only ever able to remove once, and then it came back with a vengeance within a week or two and made itself resident in my body for well over a decade. And it was absolutely punishing and excruciating, and I paid many a different massage therapist to attempt to address it, which they never really could, because it was far beyond what could be done in any single kind of treatment. Manual treatment anyways, at least without the assistance from the therapies that I have found with the cannabis and the CBG and then ethanol. Being that was, a year and a half ago, I was definitely in a different place in my recovery. You know, I'd only been on the road for 10 months at that time? Well, a little longer than that, for 1 year. Roughly at that time, but still my actual tissues felt quite a bit different at that time, and I still didn't understand what I was really feeling in my tissues was actually all the fascia. I couldn't even really feel the muscles. All of the pain and everything, it was all just this scarred up, very thick, scarred together and incorrectly attached fascia. I mean, what I can say in short is that for as long as I can remember in my life, back to something like an age 10 or whatever, whenever I flexed my muscles or felt them or whatever, they felt a certain way. And they had a little bit of burn to them whenever you would palpate them. And to me, they felt taut and strong. And that's what I thought a strong muscle felt like. And I was able to strengthen them. And eventually, you know, I mean, I've squatted 315 in sets of 10 back in my college days. And yeah, even... after I got out of grad school. So I guess what I feel like I can say about it at this point is that fascia that is healthy, even whenever you tense up a muscle as tight as you can, even when you've got a major load on it, if you take your finger and palpate it and push on it, it still has some flexibility and some give. And I would say that my tissues, which were quite thick, anytime I would tense up and you would palpate that, it would be a much more solid and less flexible thing. And then to me internally, it felt the way that my tissues feel now, at least the vast majority now that have untouched, and really a significant part has just been in the last few days still. So it's still ongoing, but I mean, I feel like it's So close to being done. But yeah, the parts that are no longer adhered, I wish I could come up with some way that my body feels just that normal feeling. It feels pretty incredible, and I just enjoy it whenever I go for a run and just feel my body working. So eventually in this show, I do take a dab. I'm virtually certain that I'm high as a kite starting out with this. I had to have been. And as we get toward the end, I realize that I've left the dab rig on. And so I take another dab, and I'm able to describe to you a little bit about what happens in an individual sort of case of, I still didn't have much Neprenol on board. It's described in the audio. I hope you check it out. So I guess I should say, you know, that I am a laser engineer, people. I am not a doctor. And so the assertions that I make, in this, I can't say are particularly sound or informed. They are my working hypotheses. And to the extent that you want to follow them, I think you should take my ideas to your doctor, to the doctors that you trust. Take the papers and things and see what they say and get yourself some medical advice. I'm not giving you any medical advice. I'm giving you my best guesses. And you need to take responsibility for how you weigh that information 100% completely yourself. Okay, to the point where, yeah, I barely even understand or know most of the hashtag conditions, but what I have here are, a series of papers that have been updated over a couple of decades by Ethan Russo that relate all of these conditions together. So that's why you're hashtagged on here, and if you're listening to this because you've come to the hashtags, that's the reason why. I hope you'll come aboard. All right, so just one final thing here that I feel like I should mention. This is at the point where this is recorded in October of 2020. That, you know, was coming up on 2 years into my recovery, or three years. And at that point, I'm using a pretty sophisticated mixture of dabs of THC-containing wax, also mixed with some CBG. Powder, and eventually I've gone on to add CBN and occasionally CBD. And I'll just say that CBD, I only use it in terms of if I need to put the brakes on something, which is very rare that I would take something that was so strong where I felt like I needed to slow it down. In fact, there's pretty much never, because I can handle anything I've ever taken. But every once in a while it feels like, you know, that was a really big dab and it's not working well enough. Maybe I should add some CBD to this. And so typically I see that the more variety of cannabinoids that I add, the better. But CBD in particular put the brakes on some things. I haven't got to play too much with CBC, but I have gotten to play with CBN. And in a lot of ways, it seems to work a little bit like a THC, a weak THC. However, it cannot replace THC. I tried to use it instead of THC to get the muscles to release and everything, and they simply don't, or the fascia to release. So anyway, I just wanted to say a little bit about the synergy of those effects, and that, you know, sometimes I feel like their sequencing matters, and then all of them depend that I also still have the Neprenol in my system, at least fairly recently. So that the hyaluronan has a little more activity than just simply lubricating. At least that's my working hypothesis. Again, I'm not a medical doctor. You guys take everything with a grain of salt. I have, depleted my life savings getting to this point. But I'm very hopeful that I can help some of you out. And I've started putting in the show notes, that I am going to start offering counseling services to people for chronic pain, for helping to survive chronic pain. I can give you perspective on it. I can give you some advice on starting your journey. I can encourage you, help you to have the fortitude, help you to give you the proper order of magnitude of effort that you need to be putting in to survive, to stay motivated. If you need professional therapy, I can't help you with that. I'm not a qualified professional for that. But I would suspect that very few people can understand chronic pain in the way that I do. and can give you the perspective that I do. So anyways, my rate for that is posted on LinkedIn. My rates haven't changed since last year. And it's the same that I charge if you want me to design a laser for you. I haven't mentioned it, but the music that I've added here from, I don't even know how you say their name, but maybe it's X-Take-Rux, Pursuing Darkness from the album Victim 2021. I'm using it under a Creative Commons license, and I think it's pretty good. All right, I just pressed record. It is the 9th of October. It is 7:45, and I am in Machias, I'm not sure how you say it, Maine. There's a little waterfall here. I have my heat on. I'm going to turn it off. And I just wanted to lay down some audio. It's at this level. I think it's time I say something. I started to write this, but I realized how long it was going to take and that the process is too fast. So the left side of my neck, the trapezius on the left, and this is unusual. This has not happened, and I don't know that it's ever happened before on this side. It happened on the right a few days ago. Anyway, the fascia surrounding the upper extent of the trap of the left trapezius, extending pretty much, I'm gonna say a good 3 inches below the base of my skull, somewhere in the vicinity of let's say it's at mandible level. Anyway, that muscle is doing something that I first noted with Dr. Hope on the right trap, and I was able to get this knot out back then with a really, really significant massage, like really extreme. And it got really swollen afterwards. And so if that happened today, what my advice would be to make sure that you push all of the swelling, that you physically massage and push the swelling out of the swollen part the next day, and drink a lot of water, and probably everything will be okay. And the fascia surrounding the lump in particular, and the entire muscle, but particularly in the vicinity of what will eventually become a trigger point. And then once it becomes a trigger point, it really, really has to be dealt with, because the next step from there is, kind of what I am now reading seems to be what they call fibromyalgia. So it's going to be my assertion here until I read some more or something and find otherwise. It's going to be my assertion that myofascial pain syndrome, myofascial pain syndrome, MPS, is a preliminary stage of what becomes fibromyalgia. What I'm talking about tonight is the process. So typically the first, I would notice something unless I give myself some kind of massage for some reason, which I wouldn't unless they hurt. But I would feel a knot like today. This is actually causing some side effects and making me not feel well. The tension in it, and now realizing that it's been putting on my neck. So it's kind of putting it back in that old way that I was when I was broken. So in the case of this particular trapezius, they're quite thick bands. I would say they're probably 3 millimeters wide by probably 3 millimeters thick. Almost a rectangular straps of meat, probably surrounding the upper extent of the trapezius on the left. So I've squeezed most of the liquid out. It came out in kind of two phases. The first one being
of like tier salinity. The second one required a little bit more mashing and felt a little different. So now what seems to be left behind is sort of a little bit of residual general swelling and some pretty thick banding. So I think that this is, among other things, indicative of a lack of neprenol, or perhaps its overuse, you know, or the injury response is still really strong in me. So I'm definitely going to hit the neprenol as soon as I can, which will be in another hour. So that will be at 9 o'clock. I'm going to take 2 neprenol and then give myself a massage. I'm going to turn this fan off. Okay, what did I say? So I take the neprenol. Hopefully it will dissolve the bands. This trap is a gnarly one. It is sort of a severe example and somewhat special. In some ways it doesn't go as far. In some ways it's the gnarliest, you know, because the tissue's so thick. But the biceps are very painful, and they're a good one to use because at least for my right bicep, whatever's going on there, it's had some really extreme examples. So it starts out with like a feeling of, you know, everybody gets that feeling of having a spasm in their bicep, or do they? I don't know. Mine are stringy right now. They're not quite spasming. Oh well. Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird to not feel that way, to always have the lactic and everything. It's strange. My muscles are just totally different. They feel so flaccid to me now, even though I'm quite strong. Or feel like I am. So the biceps. The biceps also get banding, and right now, you know, it's definitely less than, you know, it's probably more like 10% duty cycle. Mostly spaces. But gnarly. I mean, honestly, it you know, we just say that just feels like your muscle fibers, Steve. But this is the way the fascia feels around each one of the individual muscle packets that belong to the various parts of the bicep. Getting the biceps undone is quite a big deal. It's sort of something that, you know, I would need to put several days into and have a special place, and you know, I mean, this is like, you know, getting off of opiates or something. It's painful, it's unpleasant, but it feels really good. I'm nowhere near where I was, and probably I can work it out, I hope. Without, you know, with no special effort. So, anyway, what will happen if I let this banding continue to go quite a bit worse than what it is right now? It would do as the neck does. It would swell up. I wouldn't necessarily detect two different layers whenever I tear it apart. I think that's maybe because the bicep is really complicated. I don't know. The two layers thing's brand new. A little bit of crunching in my neck there. I don't know if there's any way you could have heard that. I feel like it's... I almost feel like I should mic the back of my head sometime and see if we can... Well, what the hell? I got the microphone sitting right here. Why don't I just put the Omni on the back and we can ignore that channel. Just do the experiment. DFE, as we call it. The F is silent. Okay, back to the biceps, which I'm using to illustrate the way the fascia hardens in the whole process from on the way to myofascial, what is diagnosed as myofascial pain syndrome. once the knot forms, if you don't get rid of it, the fibers, at least in the bicep and at least on this side of the bicep, they turn into like a different type of ribbon. It becomes very long and flaccid and almost two-dimensional. I think this is like a layer of sinew just completely desiccating, maybe, and shutting down. But in any event, once it gets beyond that phase, so it's loose and ribboning, and it can be within an hour from there to overnight that turns into the sinew. And you have a little bit of a grace period on the sinew, I would say maybe 12 hours, if you can catch it and get it and really vigorously massage it, drink a lot of water, very hydrated. If you have Nepronol, certainly CBG and THC, pharmaceuticals, stay away from, due to the toxins. The whole thing that we're trying to get out of your tissue is toxic buildup of something due to the injury process. For whatever reason, the some brand of toxin gets, and it seems to be different and differing intensities, and certainly the flavors that I tasted over time, now it's rare that I taste anything because there's nothing that's that bad, but in the beginning they were extremely strong and burned my skin from the inside. That it was something that my sister could trace on my body without me telling her the path. So that was a one-time thing, that one. But it did often burn. It did also often taste of acid, and definitely could feel it burning its way through the lymphatic ducts. I don't know. Maybe that's helpful to somebody. The flavor as I taste it is not tasted like a normal flavor. It's sort of below my voice box. It's kind of back of the throat sort of thing. I don't know. I have a lot of hardware in my neck. I have four vertebrae fused together, and that the hardware that allows for that is a titanium. There's two bolts in each vertebrae, so there's eight bolts and four big chunks of metal, and that blocks off a lot of my throat. I don't know to what extent that has any effect, but I have, a few hypotheses that I won't go into right now. So the ribbons, once they're kind of loose and long, elongated and two-dimensional, it dries into a shorter and very compact sinew. The ribbon becomes basically infinitesimal in itself. But this is the beginning of a process that can also itself occur very rapidly, that eventually leads that individual muscle packet to be completely, like, hermetically sealed in this sinew. And that completely starves the muscle of what it needs, and it kind of goes dormant and does the same thing. That muscle, when you bring it back, it's like you have to destroy it to bring it back. It is gone once that happens. It is painful. It has a flavor. This is the muscle once you're tearing it again after it's been desiccated. Now, how does it feel? I hope to get my massage therapist, Deb, to tell us how my tissue feels to her. You know, as a massage therapist, he doesn't want to make any diagnosis or anything, obviously. I don't want to put her into any kind of strange position of doing something like that. But it would like for her to be able to communicate to other massage therapists and hopefully, you know, eventually to the medical community somehow on what my tissue felt like before the Neprenol. The Neprenol seems to dissolve whatever it is that makes it all stick together, which seems to be fibrin. And as far as I can tell, one Neprenol, you know, is slightly better than two Serratia. In the same way that, you know, a well-crafted dab of mixed, you know, like, I guess like I'm doing these days, can really boost the effect. Okay, now I lost my train of thought. Why am I talking about that? It seems that the act of pushing the hyaluronan out of the cell with the CBG, perhaps some of the it occurs on the inhale, you know, even. Maybe, I don't know, it's probably just a hydrostatic, you know, it's just what you think when it's lubricate things, and now the Neprenol can get around there more, and it's sort of a positive feedback loop that causes these cascading events. It's like a ice waterfall falling down, as I described in my LinkedIn article. I still think that was it was a really good description for the beginning of the process of breaking up. Also gives you an idea of how incredibly crystallized, like how incredibly stiff it must have been for fluid to be able to drip down it as a solid. Meaning the tissue did not absorb the fluid, it passed it through. Yeah, I'm still not describing it well. But as water begins to flow over that frozen waterfall. Yeah. Okay. So I talked about kind of how it gets to the knot, which is MPS, the knot and the bands. The bands are there before the knot. You can have bands and be fine, but you would be a lot better if you did not have bands. And the way to get rid of those is the Neprenol and massage. At least that's what I've got for now. Well, I don't know if Neprenol by itself, but definitely Neprenol and CBG. Okay. So, I don't know what you can hear on the various mics, but I'm back to rubbing, massaging across the grain, right at where the knot was, trying to break up the bands. You know what? I've left the stab rig on unintentionally, wasting my solar power. It's a very sunny day today, but that's not what matters. What matters is how sunny it's going to be tomorrow. Anyway, let's do this. Salacious audio here. That was my scale. I have a jar that I got, actually, probably in Oregon or Washington, some cheap $20 dabs. Actually, this Millennium is from the same place, but it's not its packaging. It's a simple glass container with a silicone lid, and I like it because the silicone lid can be used as a weighing dish. So I'm going to tear that out. I'm going to see if I can get some kind of... Can you hear it? Got a chunk there. Let's see what it weighs. Again, it doesn't register. So these sensors that they use are quite cheap, and they have a lot of drift in them. So it looks like the measurement is always moving. And the reason why that doesn't show on the screen is because they kind of track it. But in that process, that's just noise, and anyway. Heck, it may be done in hardware. All right, let me do, so I put it down and it read zeros, but I know that this is a 2.060 lid. Pull it off. Okay, I'm going to tear the lid. Take the lid off. 2.052. Now hurry, because it's going to do that drift thing. Add it back on. Nothing. Pull it back off. 2.082. So that's saying, so I took the lid and the little piece of shatter off, and now the scale says 2.08, negative 2.082, because I had it teared, and then I added this, and the zero drifted, and okay. So this being, it was 2053, so that means this is about a 30 milligram thing. So I'm going to put it back down and see if it measures zero again, and it does. Tear it out, lift it back up, 2.072, so 20 to 30 milligrams, let's call it 25. Tear it again, 2.077, so it's probably on the fat side of 25. And I'm just going to take a scoop of CBG, because it's really almost impossible to measure in this. I can get it clumped up. But even so, enough for this scale to measure. It's quite substantial. Alright. Still can't take any Neprenol, but I can drink water. So with CBG, it's like a massive anti-inflammatory. I definitely recommend breathing it out your nose. If you have any kind of sinus issues, it just opens your head up. Now, if it does it the same way Drano does. I think like they're playing music outside. That's 8:20. It's been playing for a while, hasn't it? Yeah. Alright, let's feel the neck. Okay, so definitely, when you palpate it, it's got a little more give. Did you hear that? So that's me pushing on the trap, and I tore a couple of bands, and I can taste those. Yep, and palpate, and it's much. Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, and this is what I would expect for not taking Neprenol all day. There's still some in my body, and I can still get some improvement with a big-ass wallop of CBG. But honestly, I think the THC component is almost necessary to help me understand what I need. I wasn't gonna record any of this. I didn't.
Okay, folks, that's it from Machias, Maine, back in October of 2020. I hope that you find my ramblings to be somewhat useful or enlightening for you. Certainly, you know, when I recorded this originally, I sort of had some different intents for it. And I think, you know, it didn't turn out well enough where I really wanted to share it with you. But I think it offers some perspective that, you know, is maybe a little different now as the 14th episode of this podcast. But just know that pretty much every day has involved me doing something like that for hours on end, and tearing a lot of things loose, a lot of stretching, a lot of yoga-like posing, very simple things. You just heard a major pop in my right leg while I'm working on this. So it has been basically all-consuming. And I don't really know what else to say about that. I know that it is quite a luxury to have the ability to heal yourself in 2022. But the reason why I've gone as far as I have and everything else is that I believe that I want to share this with as many people as I can. And I think that it can help a lot of people. And I hope that, you know, the information enters your head in a way that you are open to it and consider it. And I hope it does some good either for you or a chronic pain patient that you love. Thanks for listening. And I look forward to catching you in the next season. The next season will not be stories about me so much. It's going to be more directions, direct directions, like I said, I wouldn't give you, on how to get out of chronic pain using these techniques. But it's not going to be a comfortable conversation, and it's not going to be maybe what you want to hear. So if you want to prepare for that, go ahead and start picking out what diet you can stick to. And we'll begin with taking personal responsibility for your health and your physical well-being. All right. Until then, you guys have a great life.